Olé! Olé! It's showtime!
You are listening to The Mini Minxes, the UK's newest Disney podcast. It's a mischievous way to start your week. Disney girl power!
Hello everyone and welcome to show number 9. This is Kimmy. Glad you could all come back for show number 9. And I have a special guest with me yet again, don't I?
Hello Kimmy!
And it's the lovely Michelle that's come and joined me again for this adventure of a show.
Nice to be back. Thank you for the invite.
And how did you think of your show last week? Did you enjoy doing it? Did you like the results?
I did indeed. It was lovely to walk back down through memory lane and listen to all about Snow White.
Oh, so you didn't mind me droning on too much then?
It was very informative, Kimmy. Really enjoyed it.
Oh, good. And I hope everybody else out there enjoyed it as well, because I thought it was quite interesting, so hopefully everybody else did as well. So I suppose I better tell everybody what's coming up on this show. And to be honest, it ain't going to take me long to do that because, well, Michelle, we sort of decided to have Tracy from 100% Unofficial Universal Orlando podcast on to discuss the pros and cons of Universal as our feature. However, this feature went on for nearly 3 hours.
It sure did.
And this is why the men are probably saying you don't have girls doing podcasts. Because you get a group of girls together, what do? We talk and talk and we don't stop. So we have just a feature this week, but don't panic. It's not 3 hours, is it, Michelle?
It's not indeed. We're streamlined.
We have streamlined it, and I think Michelle's edited it down to a good
73 minutes,
so not too shabby for a feature. And then we will have a question in Ask Mini Minxes, which the lovely Michelle again will take the hot seat when she is answering a question from a listener.
Yes, I will indeed. What a headache this caused me, but I got there in the end.
See, it's not so easy, is it? You sending in these questions, getting me to answer them, thinking that I was rubbish, but it's not as easy as what you thought, were it?
Definitely not.
And then I will have to announce the competition winner. Now, I must apologise. Obviously, this competition has gone on a bit longer than what we anticipated. Obviously, with the departure of Laura, it kind of threw everything up in the air a little bit. But I will finally announce the winner of the wedding book at the end of the show. So if you're all relaxed and you're all comfortable, sit back and on to the feature.
Here's some more fun starring yours truly.
Everybody, welcome to this episode's feature. And this feature, we have decided to debate the pros and cons of Disney versus Universal. Now, obviously, I couldn't do this by myself because that'd be quite a boring feature. So I have brought back the lovely Michelle for Team Disney.
Hello.
Hello, Michelle. And we have the amazing, the incredible, the wonderful, the beautiful Tracy from 100% Unofficial Universal Orlando podcast.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you for that. Shall I pay you later?
Yes, you may.
Okie dokie.
Hang on a minute. Rewind. Where's my nice fancy doofy introduction? I got Michelle. And Tracy gets all these amazing adjectives.
Because you're Michelle and Tracy's a special guest from another podcast.
I think you're beautiful, Michelle.
Thank you, Tracy.
I'm sure everybody else thinks you're beautiful as well, Michelle. Right, ladies. So, in your corners, I want to debate the following. Which theme park has the best rides? Which theme park has the best restaurants? Which theme park has the best shop? Which theme park has the best theming? And the last round will be anything else you feel that needs to be said that hasn't been said before I decide who the winner is. Because I'm going to be the referee. Seeing as it's my show.
Can I save the next 30 minutes and just say Disney and then we'll call it a day?
No.
I'm not going to make it that easy.
She could say that, but it'd be a very short, very boring feature, Michelle.
Okay.
And you've got to give Universal a fair shot.
I like some of the Universal rides.
Well, speaking of rides, Michelle, seeing as you've mentioned it, ding ding, round one, let's discuss rides.
Yay!
Who would like to jump into the fire pot first?
Go on, Tracy, off you go.
Let's come up with two rides each. Does that seem fair?
Two rides each.
Two of your best rides versus two of Michelle's best rides, and yeah. I'll decide who's the best.
Well, I have to say I'm at a slight disadvantage because I haven't done the Wizarding World of Harry Potter yet.
Oh. I have. It's really good. You should argue for that one.
I thought you were on Disney's side. Spider-Man has to be up there. Has to be the first one that gets mentioned. What's Spider-Man got? It's got great theming. Mm-hmm. It's a geek's paradise. It's a great ride with absolutely amazing effects. And it's the ride that we try to cram in as many times as we can because it just doesn't get old. And it's so much fun. And who doesn't want to meet Spider-Man?
I've been on Spider-Man. And I would say I agree with everything you've just said. And I'd also say that I think the queuing area, once you're inside the building, is one of the best queuing areas in Orlando as well.
It is. And just to add on to what you say about the queuing area, if it's one of those things, sometimes you can class it as a good thing if it's a walk on ride. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it is good to queue.
Yeah.
Because you get to experience and look at things and notice the little details. So I bet not many people know that there's a donut on a plate on one of the desks. You know, it's just little things and there's little in-jokes in the queue area as well as in the ride as well. And I'm really looking forward to seeing it after it's had this refurb.
I know, I must admit, it's going to be really good with its refurb. What? Just remind us what's happened during the refurb.
They've replaced all the projection system. It's 4K HD now, mm-hmm. So it's a lot clearer. And they've refurbed a lot of the props as well.
Has the storyline changed?
Yeah. No, as far as I'm aware, the storyline's the same, but the video's been re-rendered, so it's just sharper.
That's pretty incredible to see. Have you been on that yet, Michelle?
I haven't been on the revamp. I must admit, when I went last April, it broke down on us twice, and we weren't very best pleased.
No.
I don't feel as yet I've had the proper Spider-Man experience because, as I say, broken down. I'm not sure if we're going to even go to Universal when we go this year. I know, it's only 2 weeks. I've got a lot to cram in. So we'll see if I get a chance to go and experience it. So
when it broke down, were you actually on the ride or queuing?
Yeah, we were on the ride and the projection system just kept on failing and missing bits out and jumping. And because my husband has been, he's been like for the last 10 years, he sort of said, oh, you've not had the real experience of it. It's a really good ride. And I left a bit disappointed.
I've got to say, we've been on it when it broke down, the whole thing broke down, but the cars carried on going through. And it actually gave us a new appreciation for it because the lights were up and you got to see how everything worked. And from a geek's point of view, that was great. But if you haven't had the full experience, then I understand why you're upset.
Right, well, I'm going to counter your Spider-Man with Expedition Everest at Animal Kingdom, which is in the land of Asia. The ride itself is, in my mind, a thrilling ride. It's a ride that has many elements that I didn't really appreciate the first time I rode it, because you've got the infamous Disco Yeti and the animatronic that isn't quite right. But you've also got things like the ride including blasts of air and you're plummeting through icy canyons. You see the track ahead of you. It looks like the Yeti has ripped the bit in front of you out and you start to panic and then you go backwards and then you turn round again and then you're plummeting down an 80-foot drop. It is, in my mind, so thrilling. I absolutely adore the ride and love to go on it over and over again. And, I will bring in the theming, I suppose, into it now. That as you're going into the ride experience, it's this mythical setting of the village called Circa Zong, I don't know if I pronounced that right. And you're just immersed in the Nepalese culture straight away. And it's so believable that you are on this tour going up to the foot of Mount Everest. It's amazing. And you go get your ticket. And you get your ticket and then you're going through the museum of Professor Dorje. And it's just immense. And the details is just fantastic. And as I say, you're hopping onto the rail train that used to carry tea. It's now carrying 34 guests up to the foot of Mount Everest for their encounter with the Yeti. So that is my ride.
You see, now, you've kind of made a bit of a faux pas there, Michelle, because I'm not a very big fan of Expedition Everest.
I know you know.
Now, this is mainly because I'm not a very big roller coastery person. I have ridden it once. And I won't bore everyone with the story because I think I've told it before, where basically I was conned to go on it by being told it wasn't going to go backwards. But it does.
Yes.
But I agree with you, the theming for it is fantastic.
Yeah, I'll agree with you there.
But what I dislike about it, apart from it being a roller coaster, is the fact that they advertised this Yeti to be the best thing since sliced bread.
That's what I was just going to come in with. And we're being cheated out of this Yeti.
I mean, Michelle, do you know what the latest status of the Yeti is?
Basically, if they're going to fix this part, it's going to involve a closure of the ride. And I think with other things that are being closed across the whole Walt Disney World spectrum of parks, I don't know. I don't see it happening at the moment.
It's going to be quite a major repair, isn't it?
Yeah. But for a bonus, can I tell you an interesting fact?
Go on then, try and sway me with your interesting facts, but I don't think you will.
The Expedition Everest is the tallest of all Disney rides at Walt Disney World at 199.5 metres. Do you know why it couldn't be any taller?
I do. Same reason as Tower of Terror.
It is.
Yeah.
You would have had to put a beacon on the top of it at 200 metres for the planes.
Yep.
This is where I get confused. Planes aren't even allowed to fly over Walt Disney World ever.
No.
So, if they're not allowed to fly over it, then why can't they be as high as they want?
I think it's because it's an aviation rule. Regardless. So, I'd just like to come in with an extra little bit.
Go on.
Try and keep you on my side.
Go on then.
You can have your photograph taken with Spider-Man after you've ridden. The Yeti's extinct.
I must admit, I think Universal's won this half a round.
Yes.
And that's probably unfair because you've just picked a ride that I can't stand for the reasons that I've sort of mentioned. I just think it's a ride that's got fantastic theming, but I don't think the roller coaster itself is very smooth, and I hate the fact that we had all this hype of this Yeti, and I've yet to see this Yeti actually work. Sorry.
You're not going to like the other ride either.
Well, no, I'll give it a fair chance if it's a thrill one.
Well, you go first, Michelle, because I'm still trying to think of a good second one.
Oh, come on then. Right. Firstly, I'd just like to say that I am a drop ride chicken. I would never, ever step foot on the drop ride over at Universal because I would be absolutely terrified about it.
I've done it once. I won't do it again.
Even looking at it, I have to walk past with closed eyes. So when I've been to Disney Hollywood Studio before, I've never, ever wanted to go on this particular ride. However,
I know what you're going to say, it's amazing.
However,
you're not allowed to say that.
I had a moment of overtaking of courage and I dragged my husband on and I said, right, come on, we're going on this ride. And oh my God, I just loved it. You start off going through this overgrown garden with fountains that were emptied and ponds that are sort of cracked, and you're sort of like, ooh, a little bit intriguing. And then you go into this hotel lobby with 1930s era music playing in the background, and you can see a newspaper dated back in the 1930s with stale pastries and a cup of tea. And suddenly a shiver just ran up my spine when I went in there for the first time. and then you actually move forward and you get through areas of scening, which for people who've not been on it, I'm not going to spoil it for them, and then you get onto the drop ride bit and the doors open and you see the park and you go down and then up again and then you go down and then up again. I just love it. I absolutely adore it. And I must admit, we went on it twice on that one day. First time we went on it, it was quite pleasant. Early in the morning, gentle up and down. So husband and I said, come on, we'll go on it again a bit later on. Well, I think we must have sort of been lulled into a false sense of security, because when I went on it the second time, I was like a yo-yo. I was up and down, and despite having no voice left from screaming when I left, it is now one of my absolute favourites. I absolutely adore it. So, Tower of Terror.
That's a good one. I have to say, out of the Disney rides, that is my favourite.
Now,
it's a very good one.
I'll be honest and say I've not been on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also because I'm a bit of a chicken. However, all is not lost, Michelle, because the positive reviews that I hear about it and all the positive stories and comments, I am actually considering going on it on my next visit.
I think you should. My 4-year-old went on it.
Oh, did she like it?
Loved it.
Well, I am contemplating it, and from what I've seen of it, I am rather impressed with the structure and very impressed with the theming around it. Couldn't comment, obviously, on the ride itself, but
you can do you can do everything barring the ride, mm-hmm. because you can leave. And if you don't like drop rides, I highly recommend anybody just going through and doing the queuing areas and the little scenes that you go through.
No, that's definitely something I'd probably consider, but if I know there's a chicken exit, I'm probably likely to use it.
Yeah, but you've got to be 12 or under to use that. Yeah, them's the rules. Now, Michelle, when you're on Tower of Terror, do you grip or do you have your arms in the air?
First time we went on it, I had arms in the air. The second time, it was going really up and down, so I was gripping for my life.
Good to hear you've had your arms in the air.
Yes.
I'm always the weirdo in the photograph with arms straight up. Nobody's going, what's she doing? So what am I going to counter that with? Well, I'm currently having a quick battle in my head. I'm assuming we're going for current rides.
I think that's only fair if we do go
for
current
rides. Which rules out my favourite one that's sadly no longer there. So I think I will counter with Twister. No, I'm kidding, you all know I feel like Twister.
That's my husband's favourite ride at Universal, is Twister, if you can call it a ride. Experience.
Friends don't let friends ride Twister.
Are you joking?
No.
Is she joking? Does he really like it?
Yeah. Tom, speak up now and say you like Twister.
Yeah.
See, he likes Twister.
Oh, Tom.
He's the one.
Yeah.
So, no, I am going to counter that with Revenge of the Mummy. Set in the same era.
Mm-hmm.
You have these amazing queues with all this queue area with the hieroglyphics and I can't think of words. There's statues and there's all these artifacts of Egypt, and depending on the time of the year, you may have characters bobbing in and out. There's little tricks you can play on other people in the queuing area, and you do feel like you're going into a pyramid or something like that, and you get deeper and deeper inside. And the smell changes, and it's just, it gets under your skin. Pardon the expression, because I know about the scarab bit. And then you get up to the top, and you've got these little cars. I think it's... Is it four-seaters? I think... anyway. And you head off on this little ride that it starts off as. And you end up in a trophy room. And it's all of you. And then all of a sudden, up pop these skeletal mummies. And that's when the fun starts. And there's, you know, there's the screens where you have scarabs pouring out at you, and then you shoot off backwards, which I know you don't like, Kimmy. So we'll ignore that bit. And that doesn't really happen. And then you just offer this great, exhilarating roller coaster ride that stops and starts, and you have different things. A mummy pops up, and you have fire and flashing lights. And we've ridden it so many times, we actually now know where the camera is. And you're going down this drop, and we now see if we can pull the stupidest faces or the most bored faces. Just have a laugh at the end. We never buy the photographs, we just have a laugh with these photographs. And it's got some of the best effects when you've got, there's a girl, I think she's supposed to be a controller of what's going on, behind the screen. And you get this flame ripples across the ceiling. The heat that comes off it is amazing. And then the mummy appears behind her, and you just see her get sucked out. And she shrinks down. And it's just, yeah. It takes my breath away every time that... Yeah, and I think as well the fact that it's still got nods to its former incarnation of Confrontation. I think it's nice how they've kept those little bits in. You know, there's Kong statues here and there, and there's Kong in the hieroglyphics, and bananas in the hieroglyphics as well. And I think that's really nice. Plus, there's rumours that the ride is actually haunted,
Which
I think is really cool. Yeah.
What do you mean it's haunted?
Apparently, a former worker keeps wandering around and moving things. So, I don't know too much about that, but if anything's haunted, I'm there. So, yes, an exhilarating ride that's, you know, it's got a bit of everything, really.
Now, I've been...
Doesn't have inventions.
Pardon?
Doesn't have any inversions. Doesn't send you upside down. That's the only sort of thing. But I agree with you. I really do enjoy going on that ride.
Oh. See, it's another one that I've never really been on. Well, I said never really been on. You either have or you haven't. And I haven't. I have been sort of through the queue area and everything just to have a look at it. And I don't know... I think from what I hear from Aaron and obviously what you've just said, Tracy, it's done extremely well. And the effects and everything in it, I'm told, are really good. And it is one that I am contemplating on building up the courage and going on because it doesn't go upside down.
Yeah.
But I don't know. When I read that King Kong was going and this was coming, I was thinking, really? Could you not think of a better franchise than... The Mummy? Does it really fit in that area of the park? Does it really fit with everything else in the park? And I don't know, it's not... It just seems to me it sticks out a bit like a sore thumb where it is.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not... It doesn't match what's round it, I don't think.
No, I'll agree with you there.
And I don't... But then you think, well, where could it... There isn't anywhere in Universal Studios it wasn't going to stand out like a sore thumb. And then you've got to think, well, what other film franchises could they have done?
And then King Kong came back.
Exactly. And it's like, well, shut yourself in the foot a bit there, because you had that attraction, the film came out, it were a hit for a while at least. But I don't know,
True. The
Mummy franchise, it's not one that... Well, I've watched the first one, I ain't watched any of the other 100.
Can I just
100.
Say... Twister. Yeah, thanks. Just thought I'd throw that in there.
No, I agree, yeah. Twister sort of camouflages into the background, though. I don't know. You're right, it's not as bad as Twister, and I don't think anything is as bad as Twister. But
they're definitely better films.
Yes, as well. Even that's debatable. But then I think of other it was Earthquake, wasn't it? They just seem to pick odd films to me. Sometimes they get it and they nail it on the head, like Jaws. But then they rip it up. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then a lot of their choices confuse me. It's like I've said to you before, Despicable Me, that confuses me. Because, it's a nice, fun film, but is it a long-lasting film?
They're making two, and I do believe three is being worked on.
Right.
In pre-production.
Do you think they would have made the third film if this ride hadn't have come out?
As far as I'm aware, they were always planning three.
Oh, right. Well, I didn't know that.
As far as I'm aware, could be wrong. It's been known. I've got to say, though, Minions.
Well, they
running
are
around
cute.
The park.
Very cute.
I'll have to steal one.
Fancy trying to explain that at customs.
I know. I'd just say it's a Minion. Yeah? You haven't seen one before?
And then when they take the... when they take his hat off, there's some disgruntled worker sweating to death in there.
No, the reel.
Oh, yeah, that's it, isn't it? The reel.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I think I am sort of swaying towards Michelle on this one.
Woohoo! Team Disney.
Only because they should never have got rid of King Kong in the first place.
Yeah. Can I just say I actually agree? The Tower of Terror, but don't tell anybody that.
I won't.
Good.
Because... You're
just between us, isn't it?
Yeah. We haven't got any listeners.
No. That's all right, then.
Well, apart from Craig Lucas. I think Craig Lucas listens.
No, don't tell him on Craig. No, I'm quite happy to lose the Tower of Terror.
Fair dues. Yes. So well done there, Michelle. So, next one then. Restaurants. I don't really know how to play this one. Could do it as a free-for-all.
Am I allowed to include City Walk in this?
As long as Michelle's allowed to include Downtown Disney.
That's fine by me.
Michelle?
Go on then. Where shall I start? My favourite, Sci-Fi Diner. Classic outdoor drive-in movie theatre. Right down to the white picket fence. I absolutely love it. We always make sure we get our ADR in, so we ensure we get sat in a classic car, facing the big screen and watching all the cool clips from the 50s and 60s. Okay, food, probably not for your people who like your own cuisine, but it's good food, good experience. I just love the whole eating under the little lamp in the cars. I absolutely adore it, and I think a lot of people just go there as well for the atmosphere. So that's definitely one over at Disney Hollywood Studios that I'm going to put forward as one of my selections.
Just to touch on Sci-Fi Diner, does anyone else get a bit... Well, maybe it's just me because there's only two of us that go, but does anyone else get creeped out of the fact that you have to share a car with some random people?
We haven't been yet, so I can't comment. We've never managed to get in.
Say again?
We didn't last time. Last time we got a car to ourselves.
You got a whole car to yourself?
Yeah.
What did you do? Did you tip him as you walked in?
Well, maybe it's because we book our ADRs for something stupid like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, where it tends to be a bit quieter. So, you know, we normally get in there, have our meal, have the car to ourselves.
Is that somewhere where you would go, Tracy, if you were...
Yeah, we'll plan on next visit. Well, hopefully if we can get in.
I think you'd like it, because like Michelle says, it's a pretty... Everyone has to go at least once. It's pretty, you know, it's a good experience. It's an experience you don't get anywhere.
And I suppose it does look great.
And I suppose they're the kind of things you get want when you go on holiday, experiences that you don't sort of tend to have every day.
Exactly. Now, I shouldn't be agreeing with all of this.
And the food, well, like Michelle says, that I don't think it's all wrong with burger and milkshake.
Theme park fare, isn't it?
Spinach.
It's a bit nice than the counter service, though, isn't it?
They have really nice, I want to say spinach and artichoke dip. That's really
nice. Just
put
me off.
Really?
Yeah.
Don't you like that?
I don't like artichokes, and I don't like cooked spinach, like raw spinach.
Oh, dear.
That's my idea of food hell.
But you can have burger, that's all right.
Is it beef burger? Don't do beef burgers.
You can have the beef burger minus the beef.
So I'd have a bun.
They do pasta. I'm sure they do pasta. Not guaranteeing there's no meat in the pasta.
They'll probably do a garden burger.
Probably.
Yeah. It does look like fun, though.
It were a lot of fun when we went anyway.
With your random people.
That's the only bit I just don't get. I mean, I know they have to fill these tables up, but I don't really want to sit in the back of a car with four of random people. Mm. I mean, alright, you don't have to interact with them. But
you're really selling it.
Well, you'll be alright because there's four of you, so you'll just have two random strangers in back.
Might be our stalkers. Well, I shall take the sci-fi dining, and I will raise you Bubblegum Shrimp Company on City Walk.
Now, I have walked past this quite a few times.
Yeah, now, we ate there the last time we went in. And, because let's face it, there aren't a lot of great places in the Universal Parks to eat. It's a lot of counter service or snack foods. Which is why I asked for City Walk to be allowed in, to give me a fighting chance. Now, you go in, and immediately you are just in the world of Forrest Gump.
Oh, and right. It's I didn't realise it was themed on Forrest Gump.
Yeah, that's why Bubba Gump.
Oh, yeah, so it is.
Yeah. And you get seated in a booth, and there's memorabilia all around, and there's newspaper clippings of Forrest running and playing American football, or football as they call it, and all the things you know and love from the film. Our favourite bit by far was on the table is a stand, and it has two car licence plates. One's red, one's blue. One says, "Run, Forrest, run." And the other one says, "Stop, Forrest, stop." And if you put it on stop, then your server will come to the table and find out what you need.
Aww.
Which I thought was a really cute little twist. Now, the food is primarily seafood, but they do a little bit of chicken for those who don't like fish or prawns. But I can highly recommend the mahi-mahi. Absolutely delicious. Lee got a bucket full of boat trash, and it came in a galvanised bucket.
Oh, what were that?
There was lobster, and I think it was mahi-mahi in there, and shrimp, and fries. It was just literally just a load of stuff just thrown in together. And it was fantastic. And the kids had, I think they had fish and chips, and it came in a boat.
Oh.
Whatever the boat was called in Forrest Gump, and just little pots with the fish and the chips and the sauces and the dips and everything in. And I had like their fish and chips with the mahi mahi, and it came out in a like you would get at the seaside here, and it was absolutely lovely. And the service, couldn't fault it at all. The staff were amazing, so friendly, great sense of humour on them as well. And as you usually find, being a Brit and going over there, they wanted to talk to you about where you're from and how they wanted to come over and had you had tea with the Queen. But I found they were a lot more chatty in this place. And, you know, if you have the time, you can have a little wander and have a look at other aspects of the theming. And they have a press penny machine, which is always a plus in our book. And, you know, there's a little bit of merchandise you can buy. And then outside is one of my favourite things. There's a bench with a pair of sneakers, I guess you would call them. And you can, they're made of concrete, but you can slip your feet into Forrest Gump's shoes and have your photograph taken, sat on the bench with your feet in Forrest's shoes. And it's not a cheap restaurant, but it is worth every penny because the food's great, the staff are amazing, and the theming is just out of this world. You just get completely absorbed into the world of Forrest Gump. So,
can you sort of walk up same day for that place then, or do you have to book 188 days out?
No, you can walk. You can book. Did we book first? No, we walked up. We were a walk up. Yep. And we went evening as well. So, yeah, it was just after the park closed, we went in. So,
and roughly what sort of cost-wise are you looking at for that meal?
Let me just check with my accountant. Can you roughly how much it cost? $57 it cost us to eat in there.
What, for all of you?
Without tips.
Well, that's quite good. That's
it's not that expensive then.
No, I don't think, because I think we spent about that much eating at Lombard's, which is a Universal. There's only two of us. Well, that's not bad.
Mm. No, I certainly will be heading there again next visit. I recommend anybody to go to it.
I think I might actually try that one myself.
And there's all the music from the movies playing in the background as well. I forgot about that.
Have you ever been to that one, Michelle?
No, I have a husband with a shellfish allergy and
slight problem.
I still come out in hives, so best not risk it.
Not unless he's been really naughty.
Have you got another restaurant, Michelle?
So I'm going to go for the type of restaurant that Disney does really well, where they combine entertainment and food. And I'm not going to be specific and sort of narrow it down to one. I'm just going to mention three really quickly and really fleetingly. There's the Disney Spirit of Aloha show at the Ohana. You've got the Hoop-Dee-Doo and you've got Mickey's Backyard Barbecue. Family friendly, lots of fun, laughter, joining in, participation, all things that I personally do not like, but I think Disney do very well. So that's my next one.
So you won't be joining in with a bit of Aloha Hawaii dancing then?
No. It's just not me. It's not within my comfort zone. I like to go and concentrate on what I'm eating rather than what I'm seeing. I only want to see my food and the person I am with rather than be entertained. But Disney do this very well. Everybody is different. And I think a lot of people really do enjoy this type of dining that Disney provides, and they do it very, very well.
Now, I've been to Spirit of Aloha, and I don't think you do get distracted from your food. Maybe it's worth you trying at least one rather than ruling them all out.
Maybe. You're still trying to get me to go and try that pudding, aren't you?
Yeah. That's some pudding. But no, I mean, we enjoyed it. It were quite romantic. We were practically sat on the next person's lap because they do squeeze you in quite a lot. But other than that, you know, it was quite romantic. You get your little lair, that's it. You get your little lair. And they bring you out course after course. And the food's nice. And the entertainment is cheap. Well, the one for this one, anyway, was quite cheesy. To be fair, it was extremely cheesy. It wasn't the best entertainment that I ever saw. But you sort of look around at the setting that you're in. And you're in the Polynesian Resort, which is, I would say, the most beautiful resort that I've ever seen. And I'm one of these people where I'll probably try everything at least once. And I do sort of try and say to people to try and do something out of your comfort zone. Just once, just to see. Because I used to be, like, wouldn't try anything out of my comfort zone. It was only when I started trying stuff out of my comfort zone did I start enjoying more different things. Hence why I'm contemplating Tower of Terror and Revenge of Mummy next time we go.
Well, that's it, you've got to try it once.
Exactly.
You know, I didn't like Sprouts until I tried them.
Yeah.
Don't worry, Sprouts, that's not what I'm going to counter with.
Oh, thank God.
I didn't realise there was a Sprouts Arrows on City Walk. I was going to say.
Now, I was going to counter with Green Eggs and Ham Cafe. But I'm actually going to go for something slightly similar. I'm going to come in with the character breakfast at the Confisco Grill.
The controversial character... I can't even say it. The controversial character breakfast.
Yes. Now, it's at the end of Port of Entry, which anybody who listens to our show knows how much I love Port of Entry. We went last year. Not last year. I wish it was last year. We went in 2009 with the kids. And it's an all-you-can-eat breakfast buffet, which has green eggs and ham available for breakfast, which is astounding.
Are they actually green?
Yeah.
They really are green.
The eggs are green. Yes. It's an omelette with food colouring at the end of the day. But a very nice green omelette it is. And the most delicious French toast I've ever had, with thick cut homemade bread. It must be an inch and a half thick. And it's sweet and it's sticky. And then there's this homemade strawberry preserve that is just like strawberry glue. It's so sweet and lovely. I could have just spooned it straight into my mouth. But the food was absolutely amazing. For a place that really is just getting you in to see characters, and that's the gimmick, the food was very edible. And we had the Cat in the Hat, Spider-Man, and Thing 1 and Thing 2. And Thing 1 and Thing 2 were very, very naughty. Which was really funny. They kept knocking the salt cellars over and pointing to Raymond. Naming him to him. And Jade was obsessed with their eyebrows. And because there was maybe only a dozen tables, and there was no hurry to get out, the characters just kept coming back and coming back. So it wasn't, you saw the character once and that was it. And they wouldn't come over if you were in the middle. You'd obviously just got a fresh plate of food. They would wait until you were nearly finished that before they approached you, which was really nice. You know, you could stop them as they walked past. The great thing about it was Spider-Man is a face character, so you could actually talk to him. And we had some really great conversations with Spider-Man while we were eating our breakfast. And it was so much fun. And inside, I don't know if you've been in the Confisco Grill.
No, I've not.
But it's a double story, double height room, like building. And it's got the same rough look plaster work that the outside of Port of Entry has. And there's all sorts of things hanging off the walls, things that would belong in Dudley Do-Right and other rides. It's just great cartoon effect things. And it was just such a fantastic experience. The kids loved it and we loved it. And if we didn't have kids, I would still go. It was so much fun. And what could be better than eating your breakfast and getting hugged by the Cat in the Hat?
Aww.
It was just a lot of fun. And yeah, again, I mean, how much were we looking at for that? Yeah, $75 plus a tip. And it was eat as much as you can. And everything was freshly made. Oh, there was loads of muffins and cookies and lots of deliciousness. it was kind of waddled out, and we'd had all of these great interactions. And yeah, I highly recommend it, with or without kids.
I don't think I can actually see myself going to something like that without kids. But then again, what have I just said? Got to try everything at least once.
I agree.
What about you, Michelle? Can you see you and Tom going to have breakfast with Spider-Man?
No. I think one and thing two, I must admit, but I'm not a superhero kind of gal. It's not my thing, I must admit, again. but thing one, thing two, I think quite funny.
Yeah. Oh, they were. They were the stars of the show.
No. See, I don't know which one to pick, because Universal, I haven't really eaten at Universal myself, and you've made a good case for both of them, and they are both ideas that I might possibly take on when we go back next year. However, Disney restaurants, I've had quite a few meals at Disney restaurants, good and bad, so I'm a bit in a tough place. I don't know which one to pick.
Shall I just read off several more Disney ones just to try and persuade you towards Disney.
The thing is, though, you see me at least once every 2 weeks. You've got a bit of inside information, which isn't very fair, is it?
I'd just like to say that we also had a character breakfast at Ohana. And Polly is my favourite hotel. At some point, I am going to stay there.
Yeah.
And never leave. We actually found that breakfast very disappointing. It was ridiculously expensive.
How much was that breakfast compared to?
$125, plus Lee left a $20 tip because that was all he had in his wallet and didn't want to ask for change. you know, we basically got in there, we got a bowl of food slung in the middle of the table. We got told, if the kids want to do the only parade that's available, they have to go now, in the middle of eating. They got one lap on the parade. Mickey Mouse stopped by quickly, as did Pluto, and was it Donald Duck, I think? And we saw them once. And then it was kind of like, are you finished eating? Come on, you got to go. So we felt for that money, it kind of put us off doing a Disney character breakfast. We'll try other places, but that one we weren't impressed with. And it, by comparison, Confisco Grill was far superior.
Do you know what I would have done, Tracy? I would have gone to see the duty supervisor, whoever was on duty, and just said everything to them, because everywhere gets something wrong at some times. And I must admit, I've eaten at Disney and I've sort of said to Tom, I'm not happy with this meal. It's not the experience I was expected. I've spoken, and customer service wise, they are fantastic.
And I've got to say they are. And it didn't cross my mind to say anything.
You know, and they will rectify it, whether it's a financial incentive by reducing the bill, asking you to come back another day, whatever. If anyone else who's listening does find themselves in a similar situation, don't be British about it. Speak up. Say, look, I'm not happy with this. At the end of the day, you're paying a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know? I
have to say, we did have an incident in Epcot where we went to a restroom with Jade. And being a little girl, she was still in that phase where she pulls her shorts down to go to the toilet and they go right down and off her feet. And it was, I think it was in the Morocco Pavilion, and the floor was swimming. And I came out and we had nothing else, and she had to put these dirty clothes back on. And I came out and I complained. And we got directed to guest services, and they agreed it was unacceptable. We were given a voucher to spend straight in the store, and they replaced the clothes for her. And I wasn't expecting anything like that, and that I couldn't fault them at all in the customer service. So yeah. I do agree with you, Michelle. Yeah, speak up if you're not happy. We should have done, and I don't know why we didn't.
Well, sometimes you just sort of think, I don't really want to say anything. And,
yeah.
You know, maybe it's me, I'm being a bit over picky. But
it was busy as well, and I do get intimidated by lots of people. So that could have been a factor, thinking about it.
I do wonder, though, Disney has so many restaurants and they have this dining plan. Now, I know Universal do this meal plan, but is it because the lack of number of restaurants that prevents Universal from doing such a thing as a proper dining plan?
I think so. And I think a lot of people don't really want to come out onto City Walk to have the lunch, which they should do, because we treat both parks as one park, and we come out halfway through the day. Mm-hmm. And pick up something to eat and then go into the other park, or have something to walk across with. But Universal doesn't have a lot of dining options. Within the parks, I think Mythos is the biggest restaurant, and it's hard to get into.
As good a job as you've done, Tracy, I do think I'm going to have to side with Disney, because...
Go Disney!
Only because... they have more restaurants than Universal, and the ones that I've been in compared to the ones that I've been in at Universal have been better. However, I am going to go try the two that you've mentioned just to see and compare.
That placates me slightly.
Yay! Right, next task, shopping.
Shopping.
And I'm going to let Tracy go first this time.
Thanks. I've got to go up against Disney for shopping. Might as well just roll over now. Actually, you know, I have to say, in Islands of Adventure, Port of Entry has some really cool, cute little shops. They have a Christmas shop. Okay, it might not be the size of the world of Disney. What is? I have actually been lost in that store.
You've been
enough
lost.
Trauma. The shopping in Universal is typical theme park fare. Bobbleheads, key rings, t-shirts. They do have some very nice little stores that sell limited edition paintings and prints. They have specialist stores like the Betty Boop store, which I have to say I've never actually been in, but it does look cute as I've passed. Yeah, if you want, you kind of get just about anything in Universal. You can buy sundresses in Port of Entry and straw hats. You can get aliens in the Men in Black store and mummified remains in the mummy store. Strange that. Yeah, half a cow in Twister. Probably can. I'm not really selling this one.
Well, no,
I have to say I'm struggling a bit.
What I'm sat here thinking is, though, and this will be for Michelle to argue, am I wrong in thinking, though, that each Universal shop sells individual merchandise specifically for that shop?
Mainly? Yeah, mainly for the ride's attractions that are around it. Or the one that it exits, that the ride exits into, yes.
Whereas I'm seeming to think, Michelle, and argue with me if I'm wrong, that all the Disney shops seem to sell exactly the same stuff. Apart from the odd few that sell different things.
I'm going to have to get back to you on that one, because I'm gonna have to argue with that fact.
Go on then.
Okay, right. Where to begin on Disney shops? Right. From the littlest for Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique and the Pirates League, where you can have a makeover and buy an outfit. You can go all the way through to your fine art, this pop gallery at Downtown Disney, mm-hmm. Which has your contemporary fine art. You have the Arabesque store on Main Street, which you can buy glass, you can buy crystal. Last trip, we paid $19 and had a unique glass tree ornament blown, like, you know, like the glass baubles that you put on your Christmas trees.
Yeah.
We choose the colour in and we watched him make it. Fascinating. I videoed it. It was brilliant. And then the next day when it had cooled down, we came, we picked it up. Totally unique to have that memory of us doing that. You've also got all your other stores that range from your everyday theme park wear, mm-hmm. right to Disney Couture, which is the high-end Disney wear, which is, I absolutely adore. You can have limited edition watches. You can go and buy Disney prints. There's signings by Disney artists on limited occasions as well. There's just so much. If you're into your vinyl mation, there's D Street, there's pin trading stores. Pins tend to be in quite a lot of the stores anyway. I could just go on. There's sporting shops. You can go to buy the food as well. There's all your Disney food range. We are addicted to Mickey's cocoa. We tend to buy 4 or 5 tins whenever we go to last us till our next trip. There's sweets, all the delicious sweet shops. Oh, I could go on and on and on. Have I won yet?
I'm going to carry on if that's all right.
Go on.
On City Walk, you have designer stores, Fossil and... yeah, you can, I don't do shopping, you see. And that other one that's got the endangered animals outside, I can't remember the name of it. They're not real endangered animals, I have to say. That's illegal. What on earth's it called? Anyway, there's that shop. But can you get scorpion lollipops in Disney?
You can at the Trafford Centre in Selfridges, but I don't know about
Disney. Yeah, so you can get scorpion lollipops and you can get wizard wear mm-hmm. at Universal in Islands of Adventure.
I must admit, Tracy, hands up here, do you know how many wands from Harry Potterville we have in our house? We have got 4 wands.
We haven't got any yet. I can't wait to go.
We have got 4 wands. I have even got an emergent pin collection from Universal as well.
Wow. I've got to say, I do like the Universal pins. I have quite a few of them.
Yeah. Yes.
I do have a Pygmy Puff. I have a Pygmy Puff. It freaks me out a little. But I have a Pygmy Puff. It's purple.
Oh.
And it did tell me its name, but I can't remember what it was.
But
I know, I'm very strange.
Taking away, though, Michelle, the World Showcase and taking away the art of Disney stores and taking away the food shops, surely you've got to agree that the rest of the shops just sell, they all sell exactly the same thing.
Tat.
No, not necessarily.
They all sell theme park tat.
Not tat as such, but say for instance, if I walk into a shop and I say, right, I'm looking for a stitch top in XL that's pink. Oh, well, we don't have this now in this store, but this store, this store, this store, this store, this store, this store, and this store will have it.
Which is amazing because you know you can find your size.
Well, yeah, I suppose it's convenient, but if I go to Universal, if I go into the ET shop at the end of ET, it only sells ET stuff. If I go into the Twister shop, if it so beholds me to actually go into the Twister shop, it's only going to have majority stuff of Twister stuff. Cows and tractors. I'm not going to get other theme park stuff thrown in there.
But if Disney only had one shop, you'd never get in it for the populace that was in the store. That's why they've got to have these little satellite stores that sell a smaller range. Otherwise, you'd never get into the Disney shop because of all the thousands of people that were in there.
Well, no, I'm not expecting to only have one shop, but I'm just sort of saying, can't all the shops sell different stuff? Once I've been into one Disney store on holiday, I've pretty much been in them all and I don't really need to go in any of the other ones.
Just go to the World of Disney.
Well, this is it. If I go to the World of Disney, which is a fantastic shop, it's a breathtaking shop, I'm taking nothing away from it, I don't need to go in... Well, yeah. I don't need to go in any of the other shops in the theme parks, unless I'm specifically looking for a piece of fine art, or I'll give you the World Showcase shops, they're all different.
Yeah. You do need to go in the shop. Shall I tell you why?
Go on, tell me why.
And this is a hint for Tracy for her next trip. Okay. Air conditioning.
Oh, yes.
August. Main Street is packed. There's a parade going on. You take that shortcut down through that shop, mm-hmm. You've got aircon. You've got no children in front of you, no adults in front of you. You can zip down Main Street through the store, be nice and cool. Doesn't matter if you're not looking at what's on for sale, if you've already bought it. Nobody's forcing you to buy anything.
No, but
I like the aircon bit.
The aircon is a big, big sales plus for me.
No, but I got aircon at Universal.
I've got to say, on the side of Disney, if that's allowed, the Tower of Terror store is really cool.
Mm.
We've got a bath towel that's got HTH on it.
Oh.
And I want the rest of it all to go with it. So that is one store, and I don't think you can buy that stuff in any other store, any other Disney store.
Yeah, you're right. There are certain shops that only sell certain things mm-hmm. as well. A lot of them do sell the generic stuff.
Yeah.
Example, the Mickey Hot Chocolate again. You can only buy it from certain ones. It's not for sale in every single one. A lot of the T-shirts and things like that are replicated and pins, but there are certain ones that you have to go to if you're wanting particular things.
Mm. I'll make a deal with you, Michelle.
Go on.
If I can have a cup of cocoa on Friday, I'll pick Disney.
Tom, have we got any left? Yeah, we've got some left.
I could send you a tin of colour change princess cocoa. We're going down the bribery route. Actually, I couldn't because I think Jade had the last of it.
I'll even throw in some marshmallows if you're really nice.
Oh God, it's an hard decision. It really is.
Yeah, so only you can make it.
Disney.
Universal all the way.
I'm going to have to say, as much as I don't really want to say it, Disney. Only because the shops tend to be more user-friendly than Universal shops, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Because it does. I just tend to find Universal shops a little bit on the cramped side. And it's not as easy as to find stuff. But then the reason it's not so easy to find stuff at Universal is because only that shop sells that stuff, not every single shop in the whole resort sells the same stuff.
I've got to say, I don't think that Universal are quite genned up enough on the merchandising.
No, but give them a chance. I think they will.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're learning with Harry Potter.
I hope so.
Yeah, they're learning.
If they just employ me, I can just point them in the right direction, a few things.
Yeah.
Right, next round, and I think it's second to last round, and we've got 15 minutes.
Right.
Theming.
The best theming in the world. Islands of Adventure. It's just theme after theme after theme. And it doesn't matter whether you go clockwise or anti-clockwise. You step into each new little land and it's just... it's great. You know, you've got that lovely, tranquil port of entry. And it's just lovely with all the music that people don't notice and should really listen to. And all the little secrets that are there. And, you know, if you... You know, say you went clockwise, you then go into Marvel Superhero Island, which is full of energy and bright colours, and you just want to run here, there and everywhere, because that's how it makes you feel. And then the next one's Toon Lagoon, where you're into the comic book land, and again, bright colours and zany sounds and silly things to do, and water rides, lots of water rides in there. And then you're into the jungle and Jurassic Park and dinosaurs, and then you've got... Is it Harry Potter next? Because I haven't been there yet, I don't know which you're going to next. It's either Lost Continent, which is absolutely gorgeous Arabic style, and Harry Potter, which, from what I've seen, looks absolutely stunning. And apparently you need to be there at different times of the day because the position of the sun changes the atmosphere and the feel of it. And then you've got the best place in the whole entire world. You've got Zeus Landing. Not a straight line in the place. And lots of crazy creatures. And all of my heroes live there. And I just really want to be a Zeus character. And stay there forever. And then you've got the other park, which is a bit dull. But it pales in comparison to the Islands Adventure. And for me, there's no better place that just has so many different feelings. And different atmospheres. I just love it, and I can't understand anybody who fails to be enchanted and exhilarated and excited by the place.
Well, where do I begin after that? Just I suppose. Never, because Magic Kingdom, 107 acres.
Our size is everything.
Whimsical lands you've got. The Main Street USA area, Adventureland, Frontierland, Liberty Square, Fantasyland, Tomorrowland, all amazing.
We've got seven lands.
I'm not finished yet. Yeah. We've also got things in the pipeline making new Fantasyland absolutely amazing from the concept art and videos that's coming through. Each of these lands are very differently themed, and they are down to the minute... absolute detail that in, and I'll bring back to the restaurant I was talking about last show, Columbia Harbour House. See, Mark, I can actually say the name right. That it's themed so well that if you need to go and spend a penny, you actually have to walk to the back of the restaurant, which is technically in Fantasyland, because during that period there was no indoor toilets. Uh-huh. How brilliant is that theming? Absolutely brilliant.
An outdoor lav.
Well, it's not really an outdoor lav. It's back of the restaurant. And it is absolutely amazing, the detail that has gone into that park. And on top of all of that, you have got hidden Mickeys in the theming. You can buy Steve Barrett's amazing book, use it as a guide to go around and find, within the theme, these hidden themes. So how fabulous is that? And I could go on. I've got Animal Kingdom. I've got my favourite park of Epcot. I've got Disney Hollywood Studios to add to it all. But I won't. I'll rest at Magic Kingdom. Back to you there, Kimmy.
I've decided I shouldn't have been referee because I'm not really enjoying it, to be honest. Michelle's right in everything that she says. It has got amazing theming.
Oh, I'm waiting for the but here.
There is a but, and the but is... Sometimes I think Disney, as much as a Disney fan that I am, does go that little bit too far with its detailing. Only because you'd have to be... For me, getting a book and finding loads of hidden Mickeys doesn't really do it for me. It's a cheat. I just think you can have too much detail. And I'm only comparing my experiences with Magic Kingdom and Islands of Adventure. And to me, as I'm walking around Magic Kingdom, as breathtaking as it is, and as much as I enjoy it, because it is probably my most favourite part of Disney, I don't get all the different emotions and feelings that I get as I'm walking around Islands of Adventure. So, as much as I'm going to upset you, Michelle, you did a very good job, but I do think Islands of Adventure is better theming.
Oh, yes!
And it's more because of what I feel as I'm walking. Everyone's different. There'll probably be thousands, well, not thousands, there'll be tens of people shouting at their monitors because I've said that. But that's because personally, as I'm walking around there, as Tracy said, different lands, I feel different things. Whereas if I'm walking around different lands in the Magic Kingdom, yes, it's really good. Yes, I enjoy the theming, but I don't get different emotions. I don't get different feelings. I just get the same feeling all the way around. I think she's fallen out on me.
Oh,
I'm just stunned.
She's drinking your hot chocolate.
As you say, Kim, everyone is entitled to their own special opinion. And I must admit, when I've been to Universal, I do enjoy, you know, they've got some amazing theming going on, individual rides, and as a whole, I've had the benefit, whereas Trish has yet to see that, of Potterville as well, which it is really well themed. I must admit, hats off to Universal on that one. But I'm still sticking to my guns.
Yeah.
I'm still in Camp Disney.
I'm just being subjective because I can't compare Disney World to Universal because that just wouldn't be fair because it's grander, it's bigger, it's more expansive than Universal. So I'm just taking Magic Kingdom versus Islands of Adventure. And yeah. I just think the theming overall at Islands of Adventure is better than the theming at Magic Kingdom. Doesn't mean I enjoy Magic Kingdom any less.
No.
I don't.
I love Magic Kingdom.
I love Magic Kingdom, and I probably do enjoy Magic Kingdom more than Islands of Adventure, but I just get different emotions, and I sort of feel what I think they were trying to make visitors feel walking around that park.
The music very much. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't notice it, but they will be hearing it, and the music conveys a lot of emotion in that park.
Definitely.
You know, we learned a lot when we did the interview with William Kidd, who composed a lot of the music for the park. And we love the music in there, and it does. There's times when I'm walking around and I'll feel tearful and I don't really know why, and it's probably because I can just hear music but don't realise I can, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It gets under my skin. It does. I love that place.
I'm going to challenge you here, Kimmy. Oh, next dear. Trip you go to Walt Disney World, you need to do the Keys to the Kingdom tour, and it will give you a fresh perspective on the park. And then tell me about your emotions in the different areas. I think you might view it a bit differently.
I probably will. It's definitely something I'm going to try.
Well, if you're going to do the Keys to the Kingdom, you've got to do the Universal VIP tour.
Oh, my God.
That'll give you a different perspective as well.
I didn't even know Universal did a VIP tour.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
I know, it's all money.
I know. Are you two paying?
No.
No.
Well, Northern, what do you reckon?
Right, final round then. We've got sort of 5-10 minutes left.
Uh-huh.
And I'm calling this round the miscellaneous round. But to be fair, Disney has won already. So this, unless you can win this to make it a draw... So this is where you need to bring out your big guns, something that's not being mentioned that blows Disney out of water. Is it possible?
I need to think on this one. Winging it isn't good at times.
What about you, Michelle? Have you got anything?
Oh, okay. Let's have a think.
Let's give Tracy time to think.
Well, everyone who comes to Walt Disney World likes to do similar things, but also some people want to do different experiences every time. You have got the golf courses, which for award-winning championship courses you've got. You've got the downtown Disney area, where you can see the likes of Cirque du Soleil and La Nuba. You've got Disney Quest down there. You've got Splitsville opening up soon, which sounds absolutely fascinating. You've got the Disney Boardwalk area. I'm just going to even just throw in there the kitchen sink at Beaches and Cream, because I love ice cream. You've got the Richie Petty driving experience, where you can go around a track in a luxury sports car, which you may have to dream for. Those are all within the Walt Disney World umbrella. Something very close to my heart, two other things. You've got the spas, all the beautifully themed hotels. You've got all the different tours and experiences that you can have, from dessert parties to going behind the scenes at different parks and finding out how Walt imagined the progress of the parks as well, which is just fascinating. I'll tell you more about that later on when I've been and done a couple more tours when I've been this year. The special events that they hold at Walt Disney World. So you've got Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. You've got the Food and Wine Festival. You've got Flower and Garden Festival. You have got the Christmas party and the Osborne lights. Absolutely amazing. Have I won yet, Tracy? I'm going to leave it at that.
I'm just going to say one thing.
Go on.
Barney's Echo Tunnel. I think that's enough said.
As much as I like going in Barney's Echo Tunnel.
Playing with his musical fountain.
Playing with his musical fountain.
Heading over to Curious George Goes to Town and playing with the man in the big yellow hat's balls. I think I may have to concede defeat, because Universal is rather small by comparison. They have some wonderful, wonderful things. But, you know, they got rid of some of the best things, which a lot of people think have been mistakes. They should never have got rid of Jaws.
No.
You know, because I could have come back with, you know, you can go be shark bait, but you can't anymore. I haven't seen the new fireworks show, so I don't know how it compares. And Wishes makes me cry anyway, especially going to the dessert party. That's fabulous. I do apologise, anybody who's one of my listeners. I know I'm going over to the dark side. To be honest, I mean, the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, I don't even think that's probably enough to pull it back. It's just, you know, I have two parks and City Walk and Wet and Wild.
Don't forget your new mini golf area.
Oh, yes, I had forgotten. Oh, yes, we have got that, which is, it looks very, very good. So,
and your rumoured water park.
Yeah, which there isn't really any concept art for anything for that yet, so. We do have the Hard Rock Hotel.
You do?
Pretty cool, yeah. And, the Hard Rock Cafe. I mean, it said Planet Hollywood, that's the Disney property. Actually, do you know, I nearly came in with that as a restaurant. Thinking about it.
Oh, arguing my case for me, that's a
good job I did, isn't it? Top of my head. There's not really anything that I think is going to pull the draw out the bag for me, I'm afraid.
Can I just say though, Tracy, to be quite honest here, it would be like getting Universal and comparing, say, Universal to Legoland Florida. It's like Legoland Florida, tiny one day park, comparing it to something as giant as Universal. So comparing Universal to Disney, which is, you know, vast. You know, with the water parks, you've got the theme parks, you've got so much, all the hotels and everything. It's just not a fair comparison, because they're not like for like. They're very different experiences.
Yeah, they both do things very differently.
Different perspectives.
Yeah.
I got an interesting little quote from the guy, principal creative executive at Walt Disney Imagineering. Mm. And he's basically said that thrill rides are not our business. Harking back to the seed for Disneyland, Walt wanted to build a park for families to enjoy together. And this is why it's not a fair comparison, because Universal do the thrill ride so well. Yeah. Rip Ride Rocket would never work in Disney.
It doesn't work in Universal, but let's go there. Ride the movies.
Yeah, but
not for music.
Example, it's an amazing ride. I love that ride. And you put it into Disney, it just would not gel.
No, so. I agree. And to Disney is just, it's about family and being together and being happy. And I wouldn't want any of that to change.
Yeah, that's not stopping families going together and enjoying Universal. I just think it's more of a...
It's not go to Universal, be a family and be unhappy.
No, it's a different experience, shall we say, which in having teenage daughters, they love Universal. Yes. Absolutely love the thrill ride element, especially.
Well, I hate to tell you, Tracy, but I think Disney won that round as well.
I know. Yeah. It's, you know, these big mega empires trampling all over the little guys.
But I think the thing to remember, and I think the important thing here is I do think Universal has now woken up and smelt the coffee and now is properly trying.
Yeah, I think Universal's good for Disney because they keep Disney on the toes. Otherwise, I think Disney would be stagnant.
Yes.
So there's, you know, Universal has its place.
Because let's face it, if Universal hadn't have done Harry Potter and Disney hadn't have done Harry Potter, I don't think we'd seen a new Fantasyland, and I don't think we'd be seeing this Avatar land. Okay, on that note, I would like to say thank you to Tracy for joining us today.
Anytime. Thank you for having me.
Well done for fighting Universal's corner.
I tried valiantly.
And I'm sure Lee wouldn't be very happy if you didn't plug your podcast, so off you pop.
No. That'd be an idea, wouldn't it?
Would you?
We are the 100% unofficial Universal Orlando podcast. You can find us unofficialuniversalorlando.podbean.com. We're also on iTunes and Stitcher Radio and Zoom and probably somewhere else. You can also find us on Facebook and you can follow us on Twitter. I'm at UUOP Tracy if you want to follow me. You can find everybody else through me. So come and listen and stop listening to that Disney rubbish. No, I'm kidding.
And then I suppose I better thank Michelle for jumping into the breach once again.
Yay!
I'm still not complimenting you though.
Oh.
Not unless I get Coco on Friday.
Oh, go on, I'll even put it in a Mickey espresso cup for you.
Woohoo!
Espresso cup.
It's going to be the world's smallest hot chocolate.
Have you got marshmallows small enough to go in that?
Oh, I can grate them.
Excellent. Good to do battle with you, Michelle.
My pleasure, Tracy, anytime.
Jennifer.
Yes, Lisa?
Hey, listeners. Looking for something a little different in your Disney podcast?
Then you shake Pal Mickey and you squeeze him?
A little old school?
It's time for a film strip. Yay!
Perhaps a little off the beaten path.
Oh, shit, she just took the theme.
Confused? Intrigued? Puzzled? Come find us on iTunes or at thosedarncats.net.
Every Wednesday, check out Those Darn Cats.
Okay, so this week in Ask the Mini Minxes, Michelle, guess who we had a question from?
Go on, who did we have a question from?
Well, just coincidentally, we had a question from Lee, Tracy, Darren and Hunter from the 100% Unofficial Universal Podcast.
You mean they're asking a Disney show a Disney question?
They are. It's like this episode's being sponsored by them this week. Now, to be fair, I think this question is mainly from Lee and Tracy, seeing as it's a British question. But I'm sure Darren and Hunter would be intrigued to know what the answer is as well.
Well, maybe so.
The question I had was, hi girls, we're heading to Orlando from the UK in August 2013 for 3 weeks, staying off-site. We will spend 9 days at Disney and wondered if, due to the free parking and discounts on food and merchandises, whether it would be cost-effective for one of us to buy an annual pass. We would normally buy the 21-day Ultimate Pass, which is £277, $430. Thanks and keep up the great work, Disney Girl Power. Lovely, Tracy, Darren and Hunter. So, a bit of a money-saving exercise here, I think.
Oh, what a nightmare this caused me.
Well, again, listeners, I pass the responsibility on to Michelle because she likes a bargain. So I thought no one better to find out what the best cost-effective way for Lee and Tracy would be other than Michelle.
As I delved into the array of annual passes, it isn't as straightforward as I first thought. There are three categories: Florida residents, DVC, and then general annual pass. However, not as straightforward as that, because if you're choosing the general annual pass, which is what us guys in the UK can do, you've got a choice then between premium and standard. And I hear you all cry, well, what's the difference? Well, basically, the basic pass that you can get gives the ability to go to the four parks. The premium pass also gives that, but includes water parks, Disney Quest, ESPN, and the Oak Trail Golf Course. Both passes offer the benefits on three parking, which is a $14 a day saving, and sometimes you can get attraction previews if you've got the annual pass. But obviously, if you're coming from the UK, only going to be visiting the park for 9 days, like in this case for Lee, I don't think that's going to be a big selling point.
No.
There's 10% off at selected restaurants and 15% off certain tours. So it's really down to how much you're going to eat in the park, whether you're going to eat at the selected restaurants, and if you're also going to do tours. Now, if you look at the maths, you've got 9 days in this case for Lee at $14 a day on the parking. So that's starting to make a little bit of sense, that one person in the group perhaps does get an annual pass. Annual passes for an adult at the moment for this year, next year's prices aren't out yet, $552.74, which using a conversion rate of $1.52 is £363.65 for the basic pass. If obviously you're going to be including the water parks, etc., on your travels, it goes up to $691.19, which is £454.73 using the same exchange rate. So this is a lot of money when you compare it to getting a 14-day pass, which is currently £236. So if you're going on the basic pass at £236, you've got a difference of about £130. So it's whether you would get value from the parking,
yeah,
and restaurants and tours. If you were just going to get one person in the group an annual pass so that you could get the free parking, then it probably does actually make sense that just one person gets the annual pass and everybody else gets the standard 14-day pass. Now, I know in Lee's question, he said they'd normally get the 21-day pass.
Mm-hmm.
However, I've quoted on the £236 £236 14-day pass.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, because if you're only going to go to Disney for 9 days, why would you spend another £40 on a 21-day pass?
No, agreed.
So, again, looking at the bargain, looking at the figures, I would plan my touring, you know, if they're going to go to Universal, time it well, so they have maybe get the 2-week Universal pass, 2-week Disney pass, and have a week overlapping where they can flip to both,
yeah,
etc. And again, you also have the benefits, because it's 365-day pass, that you could use it if you were going to go the following year.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's quite good. Obviously, you can buy these passes when you're at the park. Mm-hmm. You can buy them online, and you can buy them through ringing Disney yourself, and they don't start till you activate them. So you could buy them now and use them later, but obviously if you're buying a 2012 pass, you've got to use it in 2012 before the end of December.
Right, so they are, if they're going in 2013, don't buy it till at least January 2013.
Yeah, and obviously you're going to have to wait for the price raise for next mm-hmm. year, because looking at annual passes over at Disneyland, their new prices have come out this week. There has been a big jump in some of the passes. You know, I think I heard today 15% mentioned on one of them. So, again, that's a factor you may want to sort of think about and revisit this in January. But as I say, at the moment, how the figures stand, I would recommend one annual pass for one person, obviously the adult, because that way you can get free parking.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the party, I would go for a 14-day annual pass. So I hope that's some help, Tracy and Lee.
Just going back to parking a second, Michelle, how much is parking these days?
$14 a day if you are staying in an off-site hotel. Obviously, if you're staying in a Disney hotel,
mm-hmm.
it's free.
Yeah, but they're staying off-site, so they would have to pay $14 a day.
$14 a day. It doesn't matter if you go, say, from Magic Kingdom to Epcot, because you can still use that parking.
Right.
So you only have to pay it once a day, but you mm-hmm. do have to pay it.
So in their question then, they sort of did specify that they were going to go for 9 days at Disney. So mm-hmm. quickly, using a calculator, because I'm not very good at maths, that would be $126 on parking that they'd spend.
Yeah.
God, so it's quite... And how much is the annual pass again, did you say?
£363.65.
So as long as they were doing the tours and the... and using the discount in the shops, it could probably end up working out cheaper, like you say.
Yeah, as I said, there's about £140 difference. When you take away the parking at £83,
mm-hmm.
£60 difference. So if you are going to eat 9 days at those restaurants and
mm-hmm.
have a couple, you know, maybe one or two tours, then I could see it making a financial difference.
And especially if they were going to plan a re-trip in 2014, as long as they did it within the allocated times.
Yeah, so say the pass that they got ran from the 1st of August 2013 and they plan the next visit, say, during July 2014, then it does totally make sense for the whole family that time, rather than just one person.
Ah, you see, you're getting quite good at this, you aren't you?
Oh, I hope so. I hope I'm some use, Lee.
Oh, I think I might rename the segment Ask Minxie Michelle.
Oh, please don't ask really complicated questions, though.
Yeah, so if anyone out there has got a really, really tough, complicated question to try and trip up Michelle, please email it us at contact@theminiminxies.co.uk. Or just tweet at the Mini Minxies with the question, we'll pick it up, and we'll definitely cover it on the next show.
Thanks, Kimmy.
Thank you. Our show is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at stitcher.com. Come on,
tuki ni hao. Aka tiki ba ba. Gaba ika ta supa. Bucha, chika. Aloha.
Stitcher Smart Radio. The smarter way to listen to radio. Right, so that's the end of episode 9. What did you think, Michelle?
Really interesting debate there between Universal and Disney. Lots of interesting facts. Making me want to go to Universal this year.
Oh, you're supposed to be Team Disney.
I know, but I am quite keen to see what the new Spider-Man revamp is like, I must admit. Although, curiously, this morning I was watching some footage of the parade that they have over at Universal and the nighttime spectacular. The parade looks okay. I'm not quite into sort of Dora the Explorer or SpongeBob personally, and I've never seen Hop, but for Despicable Me, that looks quite good, with the little minions dancing away at the side. The nighttime spectacular, I don't know if it lost a little bit in translation via YouTube or not, because it wasn't a spectacular in my mind. Maybe in person, in you know, seeing it close up, I'd change my mind. But at the moment, I'm not overwhelmed.
But I must admit, I did think the same, and I think a few of people that I spoke to thought the same of Magic Memories and You. I personally thought exactly the same. But then you go and see it, I'm told, and it's completely different to what you actually watch on YouTube.
Kim, it is amazing. We went and we were sort of thinking, it's going to be rubbish. I think we was there in the first couple of weeks of it being put on, and we were like, it's going to be rubbish.
Yeah.
And we were like, our jaw dropped to the floor. It was astounding. It really was.
You see, a lot of people have told me that, but then, just like you've said, watching the Universal show on YouTube, I've watched that on YouTube, and I'm hoping that, like you, my jaw will drop on the floor, because watching it on YouTube, I don't think I'm getting the same sort of feeling and emotion that I probably would do if I was actually stood in front of the castle watching it.
Yeah, well, this is why, for objectivity sense, that I'd like to go and, you know, feel it for myself and see what it's like. I'm just torn at the moment, because it take a day out of my 14 days at Disney. I don't know if I can spare it, because remember, I've got my old Disney dining plan for this trip, so I've got 14 sets of ADRs I'd have to jiggle, so.
You must have an early morning breakfast one day that you can just go scoot off for rest of the day.
Oh no, because if I'm having an early morning breakfast that day, I've got scheduled to do something else. If I go to Universal, I want to be there for 7:30. I want to get there, Harry Potter Land visited, go through all there, get over to the Hulk, go on Rip Ride Rocket, whiz round, husband's going to have to go on Twister a couple of times to keep him happy, and then go on the Mummy. So, you know, I've got quite a lot of things to do. And then, obviously, Tracy says I've got to go in Barney's Echo Tunnel.
I don't think you want to say that too many times. This is a clean podcast. Right, well, I have a competition entry to announce, which, again, I said at the beginning of the show, I do apologise this has taken so long. Obviously, circumstances happened and things got pushed back, but I can finally announce that a few weeks ago on our website, we were giving you a chance to win a wedding book. And we asked the question was, at the time, who was our guest on our last show? And this is obviously how long ago this question was asked, because the answer was Yvonne Douglas. And we had quite a few winners, and I had to pick an entry from random. And the entry that has won is a lady called Paula Lawford. So,
yay
for Paula Lawford. If Paula could email me her address, and I'll get that sorted out. And I must say, this book has been very kindly donated by Window to the Magic. So if everybody wants to look them up, because they are an amazing site, an amazing show. And thank you very much to them for donating such a lovely prize. And congratulations again to Paula. Now, you can help me do this next bit, Michelle, because I made a bit of a fluff of it last week.
Go on then, what am I doing?
We need to tell everybody the best ways to get in contact with the Mini Minxes.
Okay.
So, The first and easiest way is to email us. So what's this email address?
Oh, you're asking me?
You should know it off by heart, the amount of times you have emailed us in past.
I know, but I'm guest this week.
Oh. I'll let you off then. It's contact@theminiminxes.co.uk.
I'll write that down.
You do that.
And I'll email you.
Have you not got us saved in your email outbox? We should have.
Probably. Are we .com? Can I check? Are we .com?
No, we're .co.uk.
Oh, .co.uk, .com. I always mix them up, so that's contact@theminiminxes.co.uk. Please send us your lovely questions and comments.
Yes, any suggestions, any comments, any feedback is greatly appreciated. You can also tweet us on Twitter. And our Twitter name, is that correct, is @theminiminxes. My personal one is @KimmyDisney. So all that's left for me to say really is show 10. Now show 10 is going to be pretty epic, isn't it, Michelle?
Can I do a drum roll?
Go on, do a drum roll.
Off you go, drum roll done.
I can exclusively announce, well, not much really, we have an amazing guest for show 10. But I'm going to be mean and I'm not going to tell you who it is. You'll just have to tune in on the 11th of June to find out. Or if I'm feeling nice, me or Michelle might tweet out a few clues a few days beforehand.
Oh yeah, let's give some teasers away. But not yet.
Not yet, no. We need to keep it under wraps for now. So thanks everyone again for joining us. Thanks to Tracy from... And I hate saying this because I have to watch how I say it because I can't say it properly. 100% unofficial Universal Orlando podcast. If you haven't checked them guys out before, please go and iTunes search them. It's a brilliant show all about Universal. I know I'm not supposed to say that because I'm a Disney fanatic, but it is a good show and they do a good job at it. So please go check them out. Thanks again to the lovely, lovely, lovely Michelle for joining me this week.
Oh, thank you, Kimmy.
No, you're welcome. I don't know if you treat me right, I might make you a permanent fixture around these parts, possibly.
Ooh, how many hot chocolates will that cost me?
Ooh, I don't know. You better get Tom whipping them up. And all that's left to say is thank you, everybody, for joining us on this episode. And please tune in on the 11th of June for episode 10. Everybody take care.
Enjoy the Queen's Bank holiday.
Indeed, enjoy the Queen's Bank holiday and we'll see you then. Bye.
Bye. Mwah.